Someone reminded, I started the recording again. So we have intended to record and we are recording. So Sean, our project manager, do you have a brief status update on the project?
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Alderman, you sound like you're doing a lot better. So hopefully
Thank you. Yes, I am. Full
health. Yeah, just want to give a quick update. Nathan will obviously share some renderings of what the building looks like, but this project is well underway. The first phase, the main academy building, is essentially fully enclosed now, whether with permanent structures or temporary structures. The building is enclosed. The site work is well underway. The Boys and Girls Club will be starting in the spring, along with the two restaurants. And then the outdoor training scenario will follow, you know, shortly thereafter. So this site, if anybody has driven by or been on there, has drastically transformed Chicago Avenue, and this public art is only sure to transform that even further. So I'll be able to answer any questions that anybody has about the actual campus development, because like Nathan has said, I'm overseeing that for the city. But otherwise, I will turn it back over to you, Nathan.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I am going to share a brief PowerPoint. I'll run through it as a walkthrough about the project, since we don't know who knows what about the project. And then we will go into artist presentations. So, okay. So here is the main building that you will see on Chicago Avenue with the finish. So here is our agenda. We are now at point four, where I'm giving you an introduction and our general meeting protocol. Please remain muted, put questions in chat, and we will look at that, but you can also use the raise hand. And we are recording the meeting, so it will be publicly accessible. So this is the background. The city is building the new Joint Public Safety Training Campus to much better facilitate training of all of our first responders, the Chicago Fire Department, the Chicago Police Department, and the Office of Emergency Management and Communications. And so you can see a site plan and an indication on a view of where the art will be. It'll be on exterior. We're not putting art on the inside, but it's going to be visible from Chicago Avenue on the East End and the West End. And here is our project mission and public art vision. The project team for the whole project did a lot of community outreach in developing. So we know that the community stated desire for the complex is that it embody transparency, invitation, and welcome. The architectural intent behind the building design is to create both a literal and figurative connection between Chicago's first responders, the immediate neighborhood, and residents across the city. And the pairing of this training center with a new much needed commercial plaza and the first Boys and Girls Club to be built in this area in a generation is a purposeful building of bridges between youth, first responders, and community, meant to foster health, meant to foster healing and the restoration of mutual trust. The Public Art Commission is envisioned as a critical element of this aspirational and significant project. So the public art opportunities on the east entry, there is a plaza between the Boys and Girls Club building and the main administrative building, which is approximately 75 feet wide and will have public access to the first 60 feet. And then there is a fence and there is Boys and Girls Club specific programming behind that, but it's a whole canyon that's open between the two buildings. And on the west end is another important site. And even though there's no public access to the building from this site, immediately above the wall is the main entrance to the building for all of the users, all of the police and fire and first responders going in for training. So it is sort of a small plaza about 25 feet deep that sets back from the sidewalk to a 13-foot tall wall. And then we realize in site visits that the east end and the west end communicate visually by a 10-foot landscape apron that runs the front of the building. So we're really excited about the challenges we're giving to artists to solve. The overview is the budget for all of the artwork, inclusive of all expenses for the artists, their artist fee, design, insurance, engineering, fabrication, site prep and installation is $500,000. One thing we want to point out is art is a profession. Artists are working. Artists deserve to be paid. So artists get to have a fee for their creative work that they invest on behalf of the public. The project advisory panel is run by DCASE, by my office, and we do not vote. We just facilitate the conversation and the contracting process and procurement and all of that other boring bureaucratic stuff. The alderman, we work with the alderman or community reps. So we have two community reps. We have two arts professionals and various members from the community, from the departments that will be actually using the JPSTC. So there are fire and police people thinking about the artwork. Selection criteria, as you can see, we're focused on artistic excellence, professionalism, and meaningful relationship of the artist process with how they will engage with the JPSTC and the community. And tonight is our community engagement. Hopefully we will hear some very meaningful input and commentary from the members of the public who are here and listening. So our commission schedule, we are in the design development phase. That means these five artists have already gone through a preliminary selection phase where we had over 100 applicants. And the committee, the project advisory panel, got it down to these five people who all do very different work. They have about 6 weeks to develop proposals. The proposals are not design build. So what they present to us and what we select, they will work on further. The one person who is selected will work on further with the building team to make sure that it actually works on site. We will review their proposals in late February and select one and come back for a little more input before we actually finalize the commission. Then the commissioned artist has approximately 1 year. We are looking for, we're targeting sometime in April of 2023 to be complete. So the artist that we will be hearing from tonight are Benjamin Ball from the Ball Noguez Studio, from Bob Faust, Elena Manfredini, Ed Rosoto, and Bernard Williams. Some of them have really good presence here in Chicago and some do not, but that's the joy of new commissions. We bring artwork to people. So you can, if things occur to you after this meeting, feel free to email us at publicart@cityofchicago.org with other commentary or thoughts or recommendations. So with that, we'll start our artist presentations. So that would be Benjamin Ball, if you're ready to start.
I am ready to start. Okay. Thanks. We're going to do this for about 4 minutes. Is that what it is?
I'm your resident friendly timekeeper. So I'll give you like a 30 minute unmuted wrap up.
Yeah. All right. Okay, good. It's good to see tech working.
Well, let's blast right into it. Ball Noguez Studio. I'm just going to show you a few of my past projects. I am based in Los Angeles. I have James Jones here who works with me. My practice is very collaborative. I work with engineers, computational designers, material scientists, community members, architects to create artworks that make public places. This is a project we did about 15 years ago that started out as an investigation into materials and a particular type of craft using digitally controlled machines, but it expanded out into being a project about light, about public place, about social space, and also a kind of meditative space where people could gather. That's a big part of what we do, is making places for people to come together and memorable places within the city. Sometimes the work takes on a kind of social role. This is a piece that we did in Shenzhen, China. And it involved a collaboration with the shirt company American Apparel. And it has 12,000 t-shirts. And at the end of this project, you could take the t-shirts home and wear them. Another project, this one is about reuse, made up of approximately 264 tables that you could also take home at the end. So there's an idea here about how the projects get reused. These were temporary projects. A project in Santa Monica, really about placemaking, about making a moment in the city. This piece is called Cradle, meant to kind of suggest something unstable, but also has an air of being like a sea creature or ocean foam. Each of these projects I'm showing you is very place specific. And so you're going to see things that we do in a variety of different materials. Another project in Edmonton, Alberta, using the same material, but this time the project suggests almost a discarded sort of heap or haystack. This is a piece that was meant to be viewed from a car, so it's very, very cartoonish. Project in Nashville entitled Euphony. This is a part of a series of projects I call suspensions that are made with suspended chain, very light, very airy, very atmospheric, almost like the piece is constructed of gas or fog. This piece in West Hollywood, taking a everyday corner on a building and making it this kind of glowing spectacle, kind of like a almost like a the kind of halo around a religious icon, but not actually a religious icon.
This is your friendly 30-second wrap.
All right, that sounds great. Sometimes I've worked in two dimensions. This is a piece about at an aquatic center in Palo Alto. Big suspension project at Los Angeles International Airport entitled Air Garden, meant to be a kind of place where one can rest their mind during the kind of sometimes tumultuous process of travel.
And we're at time, Benjamin, if you want to just wrap up this last image.
This was in El Paso. A piece called Knothole Fence that was a boundary between a AAA ballpark and a city street. The piece is meant to be like a colossal fence picket, and one could stand in this spot and look through those knotholes that you can see in the kind of wood grain there and watch the baseball game through this big fence. It's about making a place in the city that encourages interaction, encourages social engagement. Okay, there you go.
Okay, great, thank you, Benjamin. Now, Bob Faust.
Great. Can we all see that? Yeah. Hi, all. Thank you for your time today. I'm honored and excited to get to know you and share a little bit about myself and my art design practices. My name is Bob Faust, and I'm a lifelong Chicagoan, currently living and working in Old Irving Park with my longtime partner, collaborator, and artist, Nick Cave. For over 30 years, I've run a design practice called Faust from Chicago, focusing on the arts, culture, and education sectors. I think that the design practice is what grounds me as a problem-solving like artist, and it drives my ideas and concepts. It's also what pushes my art practice into so many different mediums, choosing each based on what most powerfully delivers the idea. Over time, I've noticed those two practices blurring more and more, and I'm now simply calling myself a creative. And this piece here is a cross between a title wall and a contextual object, done for Nick's exhibition of the same name. And this is currently installed at the Poetry Foundation. It's called For and Nor, But Or Yet So. It activates the glass curtain wall of the building and turns it into a light box that shares over 30 poems from the library's collection while the public space is closed due to the pandemic. This typographic sculpture is titled OK. It could just as easily be titled KO, like knockout. The two letter forms nestle into one another, similar to how we as humans might hold a loved one in need of consolation. I'm also a collaborator because as I age, I find less need for ownership rights and so much more fulfillment from realizing an idea's fullest potential with other artists at the table. So currently on the formal Apple store here in Chicago is Wrapped, a collaborative work I did by extrapolating a single image of Nick's artwork into a series of undulating and integrated patterns. Again, with Cave, I designed and collaborated with the CTA's architecture team to fully integrate the Garfield Green Line station. We activated the station's house, the exterior towers, the windbreaks on the platform, all through a visual language interpreted in steel, tile, glass, and animated lenticular panels. I think it's really worth noting that this was actually designed with the architectural team weekly, so that everything was integrated into the architecture itself and not applied to or brought to the architecture. Ways and Means emerged right as we were coming out of quarantine last summer as a way to bring these ideas to the CTA cars themselves. And it was a way to share positive life tenets across our neighborhoods from the west side through the loop into the south side. Sounds over. Additionally, I regularly collaborate with the Seldoms, a contemporary dance company, and we'll be doing a work for Art on the Mart this spring. But for this piece titled Rock Citizen, I created a brascape from over 200 neon bras that shape-shifted on the stage throughout the performance. And for The Making, presented at Pulaski Park Fieldhouse, I created a video projection that mapped to the ceiling's library the intricate details of the architecture itself.
Bob, this is your 30-second start to wrap up.
Thank you. Finally, I should note that community collaboration is central to me personally. The understandings and the perspectives that can be shared through community engagement are more valuable than any amount of research or personal uncovering I could do on my own. And these final slides are of amends. A summers-long project we designed and installed at our home studio and across the street at Schurz High School here in Chicago as a way to continue the race conversations in our own neighborhood.
We're at time, Bob, if you want to just share the final images. Thanks.
Yes, this is the final image. Thank you. This kind of shows just the engagement coming from direct asks to people that we know and public officials, as well as the contributions that we collected over the summertime from people across Chicago that made their way onto these ribbons in front of the building of the school. Thank you for your time.
Nathan, you're muted.
Thanks, Bob. So now it's Elena Manfredini.
Hi, thank you for being here. My name is Elena Manfredini. I'm an artist and educator based in Los Angeles. Art, contemporary technology, and education are truly at the core of what we do in Atelier Manfredini. We are also a collaborative practice. We work with architects, engineers, video artists, and color, geometry, and nature has been a silent but constant protagonist of the work we do. The work is always looking at the audience as a participatory element of the artwork. This is a project we've done where people passing by can reconfigure images and find their image themselves into this wall of nature that they can rotate and reconfigure. And truly the work reflects a deep interest in the aesthetic perception of the audience that becomes part of the picture plane. The work has been both working in two dimension and three dimension. We're gonna show you some of the examples done in collaboration with architects with which we work to make these facades and elements of public art. The work is more poetic and didactic and connects. The connection that we seek are open-ended and exploring truly the terrain between the real and the imaginary. We've worked extensively with family centers, hospitals, and public institutions all around the United States. These are some of other examples of the work done in Los Angeles for the San Fernando Valley. The projects are both for the interior and the exterior. We're very detail-oriented in the work, which is something I love to do. Some of their projects for Hospital Upper Humphrey that gives service to people without health insurance and brings pride to the community. We also work with education. This is a Montessori school in Florida. As well, I'm an educator and I enjoy very much working with communities that deal with education at younger age or older age. We also work with museums. This is a project we've done for MoCA and also installation, temporary or permanent installations all around the world. We also work in terms of fine artwork. There is also a component of technology in the work we do. So even when we work in an analog way, we have a product that is on walls or sculptural, there's almost always a component of interactivity with social media and contemporary technology. We believe that this kind of imagination and the life of an artwork should also be disseminating through the most contemporary ways that we have, through our cell phones and social medias. So most of the work we do has both an analog and a digital component. And so even artwork like this one that seems still ends up being actually full of life through our digital medias and disseminates in different locations. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Elena. And now Edra Soto.
I'm so sorry. I was imagining that you were running the images. So hi everybody, my name is Edra Soto. I'm an interdisciplinary artist. I live in East Garfield Park. I've been living here for over 15 years with my husband, Dan Sullivan. And this is our project space that lives in our backyard. If you live around this neighborhood of Humboldt Park, you probably have seen it. It's called the Franklin. And we have been running the Franklin since 2012. This is an example of a project that was an activation with a group of dancers from the neighborhood. They're called the Naya Dancers. This was organized by two Dutch artists from Chicago in the front yard, which sometimes also activate the front yard, and this is a project by Chicago artist Maria Gaspar. I had a little different presentation because I wanted to show you my involvement with the community and my concerns with my neighborhood, and the things that move me are usually things that then I engage through my civic impulse. I start looking at the treatise in the neighborhood, and this lead me to notice
Edra, we can see your browser pulled up with the Joan Mitchell. I'm not sure if you meant that to be.
I'm so sorry. Everything, you can see everything?
Yeah, now we can, yeah.
You can see my.
We can see your desktop, so.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I think if you go to window full screen, but you're good. You're good where you are now.
Okay, and then I wanted to show you about this project that I titled Open 24 Hours, and it's basically a reflection on my on disenfranchised communities and the effects of advertising in lower income neighborhoods. This is one part of the project that it was a visualization of the more than 500 bottles that of liquor that I source and then clean and displayed. This was at a survey exhibition. And this is an example of things that inspire me. This is domestic architecture from Puerto Rico. And this is a project that is at Millennium Park that is called Screen House. It's a project that is inspired by vernacular architecture from Puerto Rico. And it was made with over 400 concrete cast pieces. And it's very much responding to the park as well as a space that provide space for other artists to perform and for activation. This is another space that it quite significant in scale, and it's at Fremont, California. At the Facebook Open Arts Campus, and it's for their community. And I titled it Victoria after my mother. It's a space that maybe you can see some glass and integrated gardens. You have three integrated gardens.
And this is your 30 seconds.
And yeah, this is other public art architectural interventions. This one is at, it was a part of a group exhibition at the DePaul Museum. Thank you so much.
Great, thank you, Edra. And so now, Bernard Williams.
I'm with Bernard Williams with the Chicago Public Art Group, and we have been working for 50 years in Chicago creating community-based public art where we unite communities and artists. And Bernard has been with us for 30 years.
Greetings. It's nice to be here. So I'm showing mostly a group of sculptures that I've been creating around Chicago and other cities over the last several years. I think we're going to get to those. Right. I think an important part of the sculptures that I've been doing is that they've really been able to capture some very particular interests of particular communities. This piece is in Indianapolis on the college campus there. And it's a piece that celebrates the African-American history in Indianapolis. And I worked very closely with a community group there that was very interested in having particular aspects of their history celebrated in this kind of permanent way. So that's a big part of what happens in many of the sculptures that I do. The work is able to really zero in on some very particular aspects of a community and their history. Let's show the next image. again, this is another outdoor steel construction. You know, this is a piece that is right on the lakeshore, which is, you know, a really kind of kind of a beautiful setting for a work like this. But here I'm using cultural forms that kind of speak to the kind of broad cultural aspect of a place like Chicago, where people are here from all parts of the world. And this was a moment to kind of speak about the kind of cultural convergence that happens in a large urban city like Chicago. Next image. This is a piece that's on the north side of Chicago in the Jefferson Park neighborhood. And again, this was a moment where we really wanted to talk about some particular aspects of the community there. It was the home of a number of historic cinema houses and theaters. So we were able to kind of talk about that and reference that great history that was there. The large star image there was a really interesting element that came from a former restaurant that was in the area. So we were able to actually acquire that element and use it in the sculpture.
Bernard, this is your 30 seconds, so start wrapping up.
Thanks. And this piece is, again, a piece that is addressing the kind of the cultural makeup of this particular area on the north side of Chicago. So, you know, I think my work, you know, really tries to capture the historical and, you know, very particular aspects of history that is happening in neighborhoods. And that's what I hope to bring to this project.
Great, and that's time.
Great, thank you. So, here is a list of brief questions that artists were curious about having answered, if any community members have thoughts about these, like what makes this neighborhood feel like home? Any sights, colors, sounds, tastes, smells? What makes the neighborhood feel like a community? And what do you hope the JPSTC brings to this community? Do you have concerns or fears? And what are the positive things you hope that this new place that's being created at this location will provide? What does the project mean to you? What would make you feel recognized and heard in this public art project? As well, any of your own concerns and questions. You may ask your questions, you may state your concerns, you may answer these questions. So now it's up to us to listen to you, the community who have come.
Do I just jump in and start?
Sure.
Can I, I'm so sorry. Before you start, can we ask folks to do a raised hand and I can help Nathan kind of keep tabs on an order to call out. And if you can stay muted, if you're not speaking, that would be great. Thanks, Nakia. Sorry to keep you waiting.
So hi, my name is Nakia Oldham. I live in the community. I own a home here. I've been here 20 years. And I literally walk past that site every day with my dog. So it's a site that I would be regularly seeing and definitely engaged and interested in what happens there. I have to admit, I think my comments will cover some of the questions. And if they don't, I feel you can ask and I can try to respond specific ones. But just some of my thoughts, I think I was limited in expectations for the art until I saw some of the presentations. And so now my mind shifted to just how monumental, and I think now I have a bigger expectation now than what I originally had in terms of sculptures and how interactive, that was a key word. I'm like, oh, I didn't think it could be interactive. That would be nice. So when I pass a Monday versus Wednesday, I might be a different experience. So interactive was a key word that jumped out to me. To have it be an option where it's world renowned art and not so simple, I guess, is what's coming to mind. One of the things that I thought would be really cool is if I do have children, and it doesn't have to be my children, but they'll probably be in this community for a long time. So I thought if there was some way where the children of the community could have some small play into, even if it's a corner or pitching ideas, or somehow that the children feel like they've left a mark there as it's being created. And then I think one of the ideas that I've been hearing about Holtz for the Center is that it would somehow bridge the, or build the harmony, the trust, mm-hmm. those relationships between first responders mm-hmm. in the community here, particularly our Black youth. And so I was hoping that maybe some of the images or sculptures or messages will reflect that and what we see, that harmony, that trust that we're hoping for is reflected in some of the art. I think that was it.
Well, thank you. That's quite a good, thoughtful list, and a lot to think about. Any other questions?
Moretta, I think you need to unmute yourself. I see your hand was up.
Good evening, everyone. Moretta Brown Miller. I'm an Austin resident since 1982. Thank you, artists, for showing your works. And thank you, DCase, for hosting us this evening. Some of the things that I would like to see, and the alderman and I had talked about this one time, is having a lighthouse, putting a lighthouse so that it's recognized, that there's a beacon. I would like to see a beacon of light, if there was a lighthouse right in the midst or something, so it would be like other communities. Like I know in going down Division in Humble Park, they have the flag. Some people have bridges. I would like to see a lighthouse as a part of the artwork. I did enjoy the Bob Faust when he had the poems inside the light inside of the building, how that reflected Bob. That was very interesting. And I also would kind of like to see the history, kind of the history of Austin embedded in our artwork. I would like to see families, something that reflects families. And Miss Elena, I like your brightness and the panels with the Montessori schools. I did like that a whole lot. And I think we should have music, artwork that symbolizes music, children, families, the skyline, and even something to do with either STEM or STREAM. And I would like to see some history artwork of the fire department, how it evolved. I don't know how you would incorporate that, and the police department. I would like to see some history, and the Boys and Girls Club, some history, something around that, and that might include the children. I like to see gardens and flowers and gardens. I love flowers. The trees, I'm not too crazy about trees, but I do like the flowers and Guard. I think that's everything that I got written down.
Well, thank you.
I have a point of clarification here. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the East and West Wall, or are we talking art in general for the whole campus?
This
clear that up.
Yes. For this particular project, we are talking just the East Entry and the West Wall, and they are actually, we now realize, linked by landscape across the front of the building, so they can see each other. But yeah, we're only talking about those two locations on Chicago Avenue, not the entire campus.
Just wanted to make that clear. I thought that's what was said, so that we would be all on the same page. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you know, I agree with the speakers that spoke before me. And let me just thank all the artists that came out and presented. Thank you all. Really did an excellent job, and the work that you're doing, hats off to you. We need more artwork being done, you can tell. Moretta, we want you to cover the whole area if we could, but we know we're talking about this particular location. I think that from my perspective, I think the community, we need, coming out of this pandemic, people's mindset are different. We can put some love and of course, I think Moretta mentioned something with our police and firemen, but I don't want to miss our youth. I keep saying youth, there's a police, the escorts. So we need to use something with our youth in it, and we need them to be law enforcers. We need them to take on that role and want to serve and protect. We need to diversify our artwork to make it be inclusive of our community, that we're all a one and one for all. Bringing out a light, Moretta mentioned a light. We need that light shine here. And this is new and this is different, so it has to light up. It has to be artwork that's going to capture everyone's eyes and make them look and give you a different. And that's basically what I'm thinking. But of course, as we continue these conversations, I'm sure we'll be able to get other input from the community. But I certainly want to make sure that we not working together. As my motto in the community is unity in the community, but we have to show this working togetherness, together, linking, getting the job done, kids, families, white, black, brown. We all need our officers. We need our first responders. We need to show all of that within this artwork.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think that's very helpful. Mm-hmm. So do we have any other community members who have questions or thoughts to suggest?
Hi, I would like to share a few thoughts.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, and I thank everybody for being a part of this. One of the things that I'm thinking about right now, and I don't want this understanding to be missed, is that one of the very unique aspects of a lot of West Side neighborhoods is that, unlike other neighborhoods where they have a lot of visual representations of culture and history, we don't have those. And so but we have culture and we have history. And I think that what I hear other folks saying is also that it would be very nice to have an artist that can translate the neighborhood's identity into the design in some way. I think that this is a great opportunity to create more representation that people connect with. And I think sometimes, you know, I don't want, I would hope that we would miss that opportunity by going towards something that's more abstract and less literal as well. So, you know, sometimes that representation can get lost. So I hope that the neighborhood's identity and history can translate in that way. Great. Can tell history and also speak to the future.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd like to acknowledge that Kelly is one of our artist reps, community reps from the neighborhood serving on the project advisory panel and helped us get to this short list. Chia Etu-Jones, who is also here, is another community-based art rep. So we are listening. And that's really the struggle that we have with a lot of public art commissions, is how to acknowledge and embody history and give an aspirational artwork that helps people focus on the future. Because history is great, but history is where we were, and we are going into the future, and particularly with the Boys and Girls Club and the youth who will be there, it's how are we inspiring them? How are we, you know, how is this artwork going to inspire the youth in the community to grow and expand and thrive? So that's my spiel. Any other people from the community, any other members, any other of our project advisory panelists who want to speak? Any of the design team? I saw that John Disbro, the architect, is here. And Curtis Hudson is here from the fire department, Michael Crowley from the Boys and Girls Club. So any of the people involved on the project side can speak if they like.
This is John Disbro. Thanks, Nathan, for the opportunity to say a couple things. You know, as Nathan pointed out previously, one of the things that we were really mindful of when we were designing the building was creating the opportunity for interactions between the public safety recruits and officers and the neighborhood. And that was something when we were meeting with the community and all of the meetings that Alderman Mitz sponsored and organized, we heard over and over was that this really needed to be something positive. It needed to be a meaningful piece of architecture that really celebrated the community and celebrated the neighborhood, but it also really wanted to be something that encouraged folks to be curious about the place and the building. And the idea of transparency was particularly important, literally and kind of metaphorically. So just to share that a bit, if it helps with conversation.
Yeah, I think one thing that's been pointed out is that the whole street level facade is a glass window, which you're driving down Chicago Avenue, most of the street level of those buildings are solid brick. So that the building is making a deliberate effort to be open and transparent.
Hi, this is Chief Sullivan. I'm currently the Chief of Special Operations with the Chicago Fire Department. And we're very lucky that working through this process, that so many elements are being brought to this that are gonna help us as professionals to develop professionals in the police department and fire department. If most of you really knew the inner workings of what they're accomplishing here, as far as what we're going to be able to bring to the citizens with training capabilities and everything, you'd be awestruck. I'm not easily impressed, but they got me. And we're really happy to be, we work in the community, the whole community, every community throughout the city of Chicago. And there's a story there as well. And having artists attempt to tie us together, to actually tell the story where in this community, they won't see us only showing up when they're at their worst, when they can actually come by and they can see us when we're working to be our best. and maybe tie that message to them and inspire them to say, hey, I'd like to be a part of what those people are doing and maybe bring that. That's inspiring to me. So I'm really happy that with the five artist choices that we've gotten so far, I can imagine you probably dismissed some other very, very talented artists and to get to these five talented organizations or these groups and individuals. So I'm interested to see how, if there's a little bit of our story that comes there that we can, you know, again, you know, what you're reading the papers a lot of times is always when you touch people at their worst, but there's so much more of it is when we're all at our best. And I really hope that, you know, that's part of the message that goes out there as well. And that's going to get those young children to aspire to want to do what I love doing as well. So if there's some piece of that, you know, we'd be more than willing to share some of our history to match up with the Austin history. And maybe there's some pieces that the artists would, whoever selected would like to get from us. We'd be more than happy, more than willing to join in on that organic process.
Great, thank you. So, any other?
Hi, Tia.
Oh, hey, Tia.
Hey. I was trying to sit here and think if there's anything past what anyone else said that could be helpful to the artist. And I'll try to talk to them as the artist and just think about what all that means to them. I didn't get to hear everyone. I intend to like watch the video, but I know that I can hear in the people that I have heard talk, you know, the passion in them. And I would just really like to say to them, you know, enjoy that passion and relax in the project and walk around the neighborhood if it's not familiar to you, and just, you know, really just become one with your project and with the grounds in which you're walking on. Just find out how you can do that. It's cold outside, so, you know, it's like try and remove that from everything. Just, you know, have an open mind. Don't feel tight about the project. You know, act like it's something that you're doing for yourself and that it, and that you're just rich and could care less and all of that. So, you know, I know that you'll reflect the community if you just kind of open yourself up and don't worry yourself so much about it, and just feel it from a place that, which you're all artists, so feel it from that place, you know, that place, get down to that place, and that'll be what it should all be about. It should all be about, you know, what you feel right in that center that tells you that, you know, this project is doing exactly what they want it to do for them.
Great, thank you, Tia. And Tia is also one of our panelists.
Nathan, just calling out one of our artists, Ben Ball, said he needs to log in again. So just keeping your eyes on the waiting room.
Yes.
I want to say and thank you, Tia. You know, this has been a hard, long project, but it was one that you didn't see. But in this community, we saw what could happen if we would open our minds and eyes to it. You can't solve a problem if you keep complaining and do nothing about it. And bringing this project to the community, I feel that it could be a beneficiary because we want to have a community that love and work with one another. So one thing I would recommend to the artists, there, if you can get information from my office, call and talk to different organizations, talk to the ministers, talk and get a feel for the community where you're looking to work in. You'll find there's a lot of great ideas, great conversations that are being held by people where the world or the downtown more or less thinks of, the reporters thinks of it as disenfranchised community. And I look at it as a rich community. Well, from where I sit and from where we came from and where we're at now, it's a little bit different. So I'm encouraging you to speak with other community leaders, and we'll be happy to help put you in touch with some of these leaders who may not be on the call, and just get their perspective and ideas from them as well. This is not the end. Of course, we've had numerous, and thanks to all those who helped to design the building. We went through such a long process in getting to where we at now. That history could be lost if we are not sharing it. Job fairs, the construction part of this project and what we're working on. All of these things and bringing this building is, we're all working together. So how we can interact, that would be great.
Great, thank you, Alderman. Do we have any other comments, observations?
I know Chief Hudson, Chief Curtis Hudson with Chicago Fire Department. I just wanted to also mention that it's not only going to be police and fire candidates and recruits in there. We're also going to have CPS's CPFTA program along with us in there. So there'll be juniors and seniors from CPS schools all throughout the city will also be there training with us in the evening. So that's during a normal school year. So, you know, that's just something else, another element if you want to throw it into the program as well.
So I don't know what that acronym was. What is that program specifically?
I'm sorry, that's the Chicago Police and Fire Training Academy. Right now we take the high school students have to apply when they're a sophomore to get into the program. The program is for juniors and seniors. Junior year, they're with the fire. Senior year, they're with the police. They do alternate throughout the year. And also, they get other training with this. They become OSHA certified, where they can get various jobs that way. The police department.
Some of them go to EMT school.
Right. The police department also trains them. Some become security officers to get their perk card and everything like that. And then we take some seniors that meet certain qualifications, and we train them to be emergency medical technicians, where when they graduate high school during the summer, they'll take their national registry exam and become an emergency medical technician as well. So they will be in the building with us as well, just to let you know.
Oh, great. That's really good. And everybody should also realize that there is a community room that's being built on the first floor that members of the community will be able to reserve and have meetings in. And that will also be available for programming from the Boys and Girls Club. So Michael, can you say something briefly about what Boys and Girls Club is bringing to the project?
Sure. So just to reiterate what you had mentioned at the top, Nathan, and what the alderman has spoken about beautifully for years and years now. This is going to be our first newly built club in a generation, not just on the west side, but the first new facility that Boys and Girls Clubs of Chicago has built since, I believe, 1995. So this is a really big deal for us. And we're doing this in a neighborhood that we've wanted to have a stronger presence in for longer than that. So this is incredibly exciting for us. We're going to be serving hundreds of kids every single day from the surrounding communities all year round. We do after-school programming and summer programming. So that's who's going to be on our portion of the campus, and we want them to feel as welcome as possible throughout the entire campus. And the public plaza is, of course, the main gateway to that. We serve kids 5 through 18. So what each individual young person is going to find appealing is going to be as unique as that individual young person. But just 2 points that I'll make, one that relate to our mission and what we're trying to do and anything that this project can help us to do better, I would certainly appreciate. We try to make every single kid who comes through our doors feel supported. And we are trying to help them find something that they're passionate about. That is what is going to help catapult them to their next great thing, whether it's onto third grade or onto college or onto a trade school. We're looking to inspire, and the more partners we have in that effort, which is everybody that we have in this virtual room right now, that helps us to do our jobs and that helps our kids to reach their potential. So thank you.
Okay. So any...
We have Alex who's unmuted and wants to make a comment.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you, Alex.
Sorry about being unmuted. Thank you. I'm curious and thought maybe the artists would benefit also from hearing in what ways the Boys and Girls Club will cross over with all the first responder programs. In other words, we know that whatever is created will live on the exterior of the building, but in terms of programming and also in terms of literally crossing paths or sharing any physical spaces, whether it's a community room, a cafeteria, and a hallway, like I think it would be helpful to understand in terms of programming, are things going to be compartmentalized or will it from within the planning, you know, once you go beyond this artwork, will there be a crossover? Thank you.
Nathan, do you want me to take that? So honestly, that's something that we're working on now, is figuring out what that looks like. We don't want to presume anything for our kids, nor for you know, the young people who will be served at the academy. But that's kind of the partnerships that we're looking to build right now, what the sort of cross-functional programming could look like. And at this point, we're open to anything. We do have our own separate space where BGCC programming will be taking place. And I'm hoping that we will be able to build those bridges to the point where we have some structured programming that crosses over the plaza, that has our kids, you know, in the academy building, that has cadets and such from the academy building interacting with our kids. But we need to build that ramp. So that's what we're doing between now and when we open our doors. Our timeline is well behind the academy's timeline, so we've got a little bit more time to build those bridges. But that is the hope in terms of something that would support that work for years and decades and generations into the future. We don't want our building to be a silo. We want it to be, you know, a good neighbor to everybody else who's on that campus, not just the academy, but the restaurants who are going to be to our east. I know that's not like a very specific answer, but that's sort of the vision.
Great. Curtis?
Yeah, and I just want to piggyback on that as well, because the fire department, we feel the younger we can grab the children's attention, you know, the better off we can send them in the right direction and give them, you know, purpose, or, you know, lead them to a good career in the future. So I'm sure we'll be building a lot of bridges, especially now with our Chicago Cares program that we're doing with the mayor's community effort. So we'll be reaching out, I'm sure. No problem.
Okay, great. So any other questions? I see Nakia has put some very relevant questions in the chat that I can address. And one of those is about the art and sustainability. And yes, our expectation is that the artwork, we deem it is permanent artwork, which means we expect the materials to have a lifespan of at least 25 years. My department, the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, oversees and maintains the city's public art collection. So we now have an annual allotment to do maintenance and conservation. And so this artwork will be looked after and stewarded. It will be, if someone does come and does a little inappropriate interaction with the artwork, we'll clean it up and repair it. So that's not going to be an issue. And yes, it will be engineered for the Chicago weather, extremes of cold, hot, and wind, and ice, and rain, and all of that. The artists are being required to work with a structural engineer so that we know that the artwork will stand up. And we're working with the design and construction team that hopefully the foundation drawings will be done and just made as part of the construction efforts in the near future. So we're looking to get this verywell.made. As far as next steps, so artists will be thinking about what they're learning tonight and possibly communicating more through with help from the aldermen to other community members if they want to do more community engagement. We will be having meetings with every artist in a week or so, 2 weeks or so, to talk about where they are at their 50% design phase to make sure that their understanding and our understanding of the direction are actually the same and try and prevent misunderstandings before they need to deliver a 100% conceptual design in late February. Our project advisory panel will meet in late February and review the 5 designs. And depending on the outcome, if there's one front runner, then we'll just come back to the community with one to say, here's what we're thinking of designing. Or if there's 2 that are neck and neck and we need help making a decision, then you know we'll ask for more input on that. So by the end of February, we might be able to actually finalize and announce who's getting the commission. And then the artist we commission, we go to contract with them, and we are asking for the underground, the foundation and the electricity work. To integrate that into the construction schedule, we need that by the end of May, beginning of June. And then the rest of the actual fine tuning of the design, any other input that they get can happen between now and when they need to install. And depending on the type of artwork they make, the fabricators they use, the construction stuff. Hopefully we won't have any major supply chain shortages, which can really push deadlines and deliveries at this point. Presuming that everything goes well, we expect that it is not unreasonable for the artist to be able to fully fulfill their commission and install sometime by April of 2023. And that is in line with, if I understand Sean correctly, that's in line with, you know, the building really becoming publicly accessible as well. We're trying to dovetail the public interaction and the public face of the building to come together at the same time. And now another question from chat about a virtual or in-person experience. We have reached out, and through the Boys and Girls Club Network, we were reaching out to youth. We just have to see what input we have, because we have been sending it out. And I see Alderman Mintz, do you have your hand raised?
Yes, I had my hand raised. I wanted my chief of staff, Mary Phillips, to raise a hand. If anyone need to reach out to my office, she's the person there. You may not know her, Mary. If you can wave at us. There she go. just wanted the artist to know, and we're looking forward to really do a lot of great work within the next week or so. That's just exciting. I'm excited, and all of the artists really did an excellent job this evening when you're doing your presentation. Tio, I see you over there, and that great artwork, so good to see you. You know what was really, it's good to have, one young lady was from Garfield area. I thought that was amazing. An artist out of the community who is doing artwork. So we got to keep in touch because I think that says a lot about our neighborhood as well. People from the neighborhood, working in the neighborhood. So.
Great, thank you. I see, are you finished, Alderman?
I'm done, thank you.
Okay, great. And I see Edra has her hand raised.
Hi, I just have a question. How many members are in the Boys and Girls Club?
So in the new, across the city, we've got about 20,000 kids per year, but in this individual club, over the course of a year, it could be upwards of 2,000 on a daily basis.
Wow.
At this point, I would estimate it could be as high as 500 or so.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. So
Tia had her hand raised via a final comment.
Thank you. I couldn't figure out my mute. I just wanted to say that to the artist, a thought that comes to my mind is the fact, I keep seeing this handoff, the Boys and Girls Club, the Fire and Police Academy, it's like, it's almost like seeing like the smaller, the younger people kind of like, becoming, going to the Boys and Girls Club and then, kind of handing off to like police, fire department kind of thing. I really feel this, like almost youth growing up to adult thing going on as far as what's going to actually be in the building. And I just thought it was, something interesting to think about.
Okay. Well, it seems like I think we've had a good conversation. So I think it's time to wrap up. Anyone, if you want to follow up, email us again at publicart@cityofchicago.org. I think if you're on this Zoom, then you've received a communication and you should be able to reach back to us through that. If not, the alderman can put you in contact with us. So with that, I'd like to say thank you all for your very lively, very meaningful conversation tonight. And I'm looking forward to how the artists digest all of this and translate it into their artwork. So thank you.
Thank you, everyone.